G'day everyone, this is Benjamin, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome back to the 10th episode of my 2018 Myth Audio Reviews. For this episode, I will be reviewing the films Everybody Knows, Girl, First Reformed, and The Field Guide to Evil. So let's get right into it. And first up, of course, is Oscar-winning director Asghar Farhadi's latest film, Everybody Knows, which stars Academy Award winners Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem. And the plot summary for this film, which I am once again reading off the Myth Program Guide, is as follows. Soon after Laura arrives from Argentina for a wedding at her family's estate in Spain, her rebellious teenage daughter is kidnapped in the dead of night. Desperate, Laura turns to old flame and family vineyard keeper, Paco, and a tightly wound game of whodunit plays out on the estate. Working within the twisty, suspenseful trappings of an art house soap opera, Farhadi explores his trademark concerns of class tension, family secrets, and domestic angst, while Cruz and Bardem are at the top of their game pushed to emotional extremes. Now, when it comes to director Asghar Farhadi, he's a director who, in the past couple of years, has slowly become one of my favorite working directors today, because of the last couple of films he has made, About Ellie, A Separation, The Past, and most recently, The Salesman, the last three of which I actually did see at the Melbourne International Film Festival over the last couple of years, have all been great films in their own way, and some of which have actually were either made my top tens of their prospective year, or made my honorable mentions list. So anytime a film of his is announced to play at MIFF, it's an automatically yes that it's going to be on my list to check out for sure. And what's interesting about Everybody Knows is that it's also a big change of pace for him, because while all of his previous films have been mostly sort of relationship family dramas, this one is a full-on thriller. And I thought, you know, this would be interesting kind of seeing, like, him bring all of his trademark elements that he's best known for and applying it to a different genre and see what he's able to do with it. And, of course, you can't go wrong with the casting of Oscar-winning actors and real-life couple Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem in the two lead roles as well. So I was pretty... This was definitely one of my most anticipated films for MIFF. Now, having seen the film... If you were to ask me what was, without a doubt, one of my biggest disappointments of MIFF this year, it's definitely this film. I'm not going to lie, this was a bad film. This is definitely, without a doubt, at least in my opinion, without a doubt, the weakest film that Asghar Farhadi has made so far. And it really pains me to say that, because all the potential is there in this film, but the execution of it is just so badly handled. And also, for a film that's meant to be a thriller, it's not that thrilling. It's not that intense. And all those sort of trademark qualities that Farhadi always brings to all of his films in terms of, like, as, you know, the synopsis said, class tension, family secrets, and domestic angst and that, it just felt... It just didn't feel as compelling as it was in other films, and it just felt really tacked on and just not that interesting. And it's weird, but I don't know whether it's just because it just didn't really work in the sort of, when applied to a film, like to a different genre like this, with being a thriller. And also for the fact, though, it just came, this a lot of the storytelling aspects of the film just came off exactly as it said in the synopsis, feeling like twists that belonged more in a very cheesy soap opera than an actual film. Like, every time sort of a big major plot twist sort of came in, especially during the third act, I just was literally groaning in my seat, because it's like, oh, really, Farhadi? You're better than this. And, I mean, it's not to say that some of these twists couldn't work, it's just how they're handled in the film in terms of their execution and how they're written. They just came off really poor, and it's such a shame, because all the potential was there in this film. It's just so badly executed, and also it doesn't help that for a film that's meant to be a kidnap thriller, it's just painfully dull. Like, it starts off fine, but then as it goes along, it just becomes least interesting. I just didn't care about the characters. And a lot of the sort of, like, back and forth between all the characters just came off really unpleasant and just felt... I just honestly did not care about these characters and didn't find any of them engaging. Which is a shame because Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz do try... do the best that they can with their roles, but unfortunately, they just weren't able to sort of elevate the script to make it watchable for me. And I would say of the two, Javier Bardem at least had the most interesting character of the two. And you can tell that there were moments that where he was trying. And Penelope Cruz does try as well. But unfortunately, though, this is definitely one of her weakest performances I've seen from her in quite a while. And it's a shame because, like I said, the potential's all there. But it's just... the execution just did not work. I mean, I give Faraday a lot of credit for stepping outside of his comfort zone to try a different film, and especially making a film, since he's from Iran, like making a film entirely in a Spanish language. Like, that would be very difficult to do. But yeah, it just didn't work for me, unfortunately. And this is, like, with not only his weakest film, but probably one of the worst films I saw at MIFF this year, and I would not expect that to have happened before I saw this film, but yeah, I just found this just such a dull, overlong, and uninteresting film, sadly. So if I had to give Everybody Knows a rating, I'd give it about 1.5. It just, I mean, it has a couple little good little qualities, but unfortunately, it's just dull, just really, really dull, and a massive disappointment for me. Now, moving on to film number two, which of course is the coming-of-age transgender-themed drama Girl, and the plot summary for this film is as follows. I don't want to be an example, I just want to be a girl. Lara and screen newcomer and professional dancer Victor Polster has two dreams, to become a professional ballet dancer and to complete her gender transition. She is close to achieving both goals with a place at an extremely prestigious ballet academy and a supportive family and team of doctors preparing for her surgery once she is 18. But like many teenagers, Lara is fueled by impatience, and as her frustrations with her dystrophic, I probably said that word wrong, so forgive me, body clash with her dancing, her inner turmoil threatens to derail her ambitions. Now, I have to admit, I'd never heard of Girl prior to sort of reading about it in the MIFF program guide, but once I sort of read up on the synopsis, it just sounded really compelling to me, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to put this on my list of films to check out. And that's one of the great things I love about going to MIFF, is like, especially going through the program guide, is going through it and finding films that you've never heard of before that have plots that sound really interesting and compelling, and deciding to go on a whim to see them just based on what you read. And I wasn't sure what to expect from Girl, but now having seen the film, I have to say I found this quite a beautifully made film in a lot of ways, and one that sort of treats its subject matter, dealing with a young girl who's transitioning, while at the same time trying to achieve her dream of being a ballet dancer, just such a affecting story. And one that in another person's hands probably could have came off as either mocking or just dishonest in some way. But the way that director Lucas Daunt, I probably butchered his name first, so forgive me, sort of approaches the story, he approaches it in a way that feels very, very honest, very believable, and affecting as well. Because we are pretty much, from beginning to end, we follow the character of Lara and her journey throughout the film, and sort of the struggles that she faces along the way with dealing with the pressures of trying to be, you know, a ballet dancer, especially someone who is transgender, but also making that big leap for an upcoming surgery to fully transition. So the film what I really like about the film is that the film delves into both these aspects really well, and we really do get inside the head of Lara as sort of the pressure of both these things happening at the same time sort of affect her. And what I really like, though, is that at the heart of it, newcomer Victor Polster gives such a beautifully layered performance as Lara. I know some people will definitely take issue for the fact that Victor Polster, who I know is very much a cisgender in real life, and I know it's a lot of big issues now these days whether cisgender actors should play people who are transgendered, and that a film like that deals with transgender issues, if somebody is transgender, if the character is transgender, it should be played by someone who is transgender themselves. Like, that is a big, like, discussion that could easily be an entire podcast itself. So I won't go into that now, but for me, at the end of the day, like, it comes down to how the actor, regardless on what their gender is, whether they do a very honest and believable portrayal of the person they're playing. And I have to say, like, and I mean, Victor Polster just did such a phenomenal job in this film. Like, I know doing a bit of research on the film that they actually auditioned hundreds upon hundreds of young actors of all genders, both cisgender male, cisgender female, and also transgender men and transgender women for this role, and they in the end picked who they felt was the best person. And I think also in the end, Victor Polster, though, since he actually is a ballet dancer himself, so that sort of the authenticity of the ballet scenes comes across very believable as well. So it's definitely, I can definitely understand people taking issues with him in the role in that regard, you know, being a cisgender actor, but I still think regardless, he gave such a phenomenal performance and he really treated this character with absolute honesty and respect. And you find the character very believable on screen. And it also helps that since it's such a really layered performance as well, we, like I said before, we get really caught up with Lara's journey throughout the film. And I really like that. I mean, it's really well written. The ballet scenes are really well done. And I also really like the sort of the family unit of Lara as well. Like her dad in the film, who's an actor I can't think of at the moment. He's definitely one of the most beautifully done supportive dads I've seen in a film, probably since Call Me By Your Name. He's up there with that great supportive dad roles, and their relationship with each other is really great and really adds a lot to the film. Like, it's a beautifully filmed, it's deeply affecting, although it does have one big problem though, and as much as I really like this film a lot, it's really the last 15 minutes I had a major problem with. And I can definitely see this last 15 minutes having a lot of people having major issues with. And it's a very, I won't say what happens, but even then, like watching how all the scene comes down, like I can see the intent, what the filmmakers were going for, but I don't know, it just kind of just came off really off for me as a viewer. And I kind of felt like it really wasn't needed. And I kind of wish the film didn't go in that direction, because especially with the type where the film was going with its story. And like some people, so this is definitely an ending that's going to very much divide a lot of audiences. And for me, it kind of sullied the film a little bit for me where it went in this direction. I mean, it's still a great film overall and I still highly recommend it, but it's just really that ending that just really bothered me. And I wish I could go into why that is. But, you know, it's spoiler territory. But when you eventually see the film, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So, like, even though I can definitely... So, other than the sort of the ending, and I think the little issues with it as well, I still think Girl is still a great little film that really... I just found such a beautiful, but such a beautifully done film in a lot of ways. Like, yeah, I could have done without the last 15 minutes of the film, but everything else beforehand was so really well done that it definitely gets a recommendation for me just on that alone. And of course, Victor Polster just gave such a great performance in the lead, and it's just worth it just to see him in this film as well. So if I had to give Girl a rating, I give it 4 stars. It would have gone up higher if it just wasn't for that ending, which I just felt was totally unnecessary. So, yeah. Now, moving on to film number 3, which is director Paul Schrader's latest film, First Reformed, which stars Ethan Hawke. And the plot summary for this one is as follows. In a remote part of upstate New York, Ernst Toller, a reverend haunted by the death of his son, becomes inescapably drawn into the lives of new parishioners, Michael, Philip Ettinger, and Mary, Amanda Seyfried. The young couple's marriage is being wrenched apart by Michael's fixation on the upcoming environmental apocalypse, and when Ernst realizes the true depth of Michael's fervor, I probably butchered that word, so please forgive me, he is set on a path he never expected. Now, First Reformed, I've been hearing a lot of great things for a while now, and Paul Schrader is definitely one of those filmmakers who has crafted so many classic films over the years. I'm probably, without like Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, and so many more. And as a filmmaker in his own right, he has made quite a number of good films. But he has had made some not so great ones as well. So I was very curious to see how First Reformed was going to do. Like, it was ending up, I didn't know what to really expect from First Reformed. Like, I was really much looking forward to it, especially all the buzz that it was receiving from a lot of people, especially from people who I knew and trusted who saw the film and really liked it. So when I went into it, I have to say right now, and I say this with complete confidence, that First Reformed is, without a doubt, the best film I saw at MIFF this year. I just found it such a absolutely phenomenal film in a lot of ways. And from the very first shot to the very end, it just had me absorbed throughout. And as it just sort of went on and more of the story happened, I just became more captivated by what I was watching. Like, I didn't realize that the film was shot in 4:3. And it's funny how a lot of films I've seen at MIFF this year were shot in that format. So, but that very first opening shot, as soon as that shot sort of happened, I was like, you know what? I have a feeling I'm going to love this movie. And by the end of it, I absolutely loved it. And this is definitely, without a doubt, Paul Schrader's best film as a director. Like, this is definitely him at the height of his powers. And this is a film that he definitely has a lot to say in terms of faith, the environment, corporations. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on in this film that is weaved throughout this story. And he tackles all these aspects extremely well in a really complex and layered way that ever since I've saw the film, it still haunts me to this day. And of course, the film is just backed by, without a doubt, one of the best performances of his career by Ethan Hawke, who's just phenomenal in this film. We are really taken in by his character throughout the film and what he's going through. And we can understand, like, what is happening to him and how his viewpoint of the world changes after he meets this young couple. And it's such an interesting film and a really complex one too. And it kept me, especially when it was going towards its third act, where it just kept me gripped in a lot of ways. And it's just so beautifully well written, extremely well acted. Like, the supporting cast that includes, like, Amanda Seyfried, Cedric Kyle, aka Cedric the Entertainer, and so many more, all give great performances, no matter how big or small their roles are. But at the end of the day, it really is Ethan Hawke's show, and he just is fantastic. Like I said, this is definitely up there as one of the best performances of career, if not maybe even the best performance of his career. And I just found it such a fantastic film from beginning to end. I know some people have issues with the ending, and at first when I saw the film, I thought so as well. I'm like, okay, this is an interesting way to end the film on. But then when I was talking to a friend of mine about the film, he, and I was still thinking about the ending, like what is Trader was trying to say with that ending. And then he sort of said something that put my, that changed my whole outlook on that ending completely. And it made me love the film even more because of that. So yeah, it's, I'm still thinking about this film even now that Myth is actually fully finished. I'm still thinking about this film like nearly a week after I saw it. And that's when you know you've seen a really great film, when you're still thinking about it, like, long after you've seen it. And I highly recommend First Reform. It, without a doubt, my pick is the best film that I saw at MIFF this year. And maybe even the best film I've seen this year, maybe? I have to sort of watch it again just to know for sure. But yeah, it's definitely going to be in my top 10 by the end of the year for sure. It is a fantastic film that I highly recommend everyone to check out. So if I had to give First Reformed a rating, it's definitely without a doubt 5 stars. It's fantastic. Now, moving right along to the fourth and final film for this episode, which is the horror anthology film, The Field Guide to Evil. And the plot summary for this one is as follows. From Greece to America, Hungary to India, The Field Guide to Evil comes from the demented minds behind Deafgasm and the ABCs of Death. Audiences can count on an unexpected journey filled with scares, gore, and humor in this collection of short films that tackle all things mythical and mysterious. Whether it's an underworld goblin in Greece or a childhood djinn in Turkey, this uniquely international anthology offers a genre expedition unlike any other. Now, as a big horror fan, I love anthology films. I love the whole idea of a film that takes all these different kind of short little films, puts them all together, that usually have a sort of a common theme between all of them, and from that are made by filmmakers from all over the world, particularly great horror directors, and just seeing like how it works all together. And there have been some great ones all over the years. And so I was very much looking forward to The Field Guide of Evil, especially with all the talent behind it, because you got films from short films from filmmakers behind films like Baskin, Goodnight Mommy, The Lure, The Duke of Burgundy, Barbarian Sound Studio, and so many more. And like, so the idea of all these filmmakers coming together, like what can these filmmakers bring with their shorts, especially that this is kind of a film that deals with fairy tales, mythical stories and whatnot. So, and it's, you know, going all over the world, like everyone brings their own perspective on myths and legends from their own countries. So having seen that film now, yeah, unfortunately, I didn't really think much of this one, unfortunately. This is definitely, I guess the main problem with The Field Guide to Evil is the main thing, like, that a lot of recent anthology films suffer from. Like, there's about, I believe, 8 short films in this whole film, and only if probably 2, maybe 3, are actually pretty good. And all the rest range either mediocre or just plain bad. And unfortunately, usually, like, but that's the thing about all anthology films. Like, you're going to get some great little entries, and sometimes you're going to find a dud or two. And usually, when it comes down to anthology films for me, is like, if the good outweighs the bad. But unfortunately, with The Field Guide to Evil, the bad definitely outweighed the good. And which is a shame, because all, like, there's so many great talented filmmakers involved with this film, but a lot of the stories, I just, like, all of them have really interesting concepts, but the execution of them just, I just didn't think worked at all, which is a shame, because there are some decent, like I said, decent ideas in there, but the filmmakers themselves just couldn't really fully capitalize on them, unfortunately. But I guess, like, but it's not to say that every single entry was bad. I think of the two that I think were my favorites of the whole bunch were surprisingly the first story and the very last story. The first one, which was directed by, and I'm probably going to get these directors' names wrong, so please forgive me, Serevan Fiala and Veronica Franz, who were the directors behind Goodnight Mommy, which I did see at MIFF a couple years back. Their entry I really liked a lot, and it, for me, it felt like, out of all the stories, it felt like the one that was the most complete. Like, it had a beginning, it had a middle, and it had an end. Like, there were some little aspects of it I was a little muddled on, but other than that, I found that, like, at least it was the whole package. And a lot of the other stories kind of just felt like extended scenes more than anything, and a lot of the stories didn't really have a very satisfying conclusion to all of them. And also the very last story, which was directed by Peter Strickland, who directed The Duke of Burgundy and Barbarian Sound Studio. I really liked his entry a lot because it plenty much played almost like his take on a silent film, and I thought that was really interesting. And again, the other film that I really liked, it was a complete story as well. So yeah, those were the two that I really dug. But unfortunately, that all the rest, though, even though they had some pretty cool gore and some pretty funny moments or some really well-made qualities, but unfortunately, a lot of the execution for all of them just didn't really work for me. It just felt like they just never really fully capitalized on the premises of the stories they wanted to tell, which is a shame. So if I had to give The Field Guide to Evil a rating, I give it about 2 out of 5. It's a pretty mediocre anthology film. So, that's the end of this 10th episode of my 2018 MIFF audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it, and keep a lookout very soon for episode 11, in which I will be reviewing the films The Insult, I Used to Be Normal, A Boy Band Fangirl Story, Blaze, and Profile. So keep a lookout for that, and I'll see you guys all later. See you, everyone. Bye.